Hello and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast.
Hello, Ben. Hello, boy. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev. You all
hello,
right, mate?
Hello, boy. He's a good boy. Yes, yes, you are.
It's not a weird one. Every week now, I just sort of wonder how you're going to greet me now.
I've just thought, you know that when you talk to a dog, you sort of talk in that weird way.
Yeah.
I've decided that I'm eventually going to get a dog. I don't know when, but I will get a dog in my life. And I thought I'd get some practice in about how to talk to the dog.
Right. And you thought I'd be the guinea pig for this, did you?
I thought I'd see how you reacted.
Well, I mean, I don't have a tail, but I was shaking my ass. So.
Were you?
Yeah.
Do you want a treat? Do you want a treat? Do you? What sort of dog would you be? Would you be quite an excitable? Because I always see you as slightly puppy-like.
Yeah, I think I would be something easily overexcited, maybe pisses on the carpet, you know. Lovable, but overexcited, I think.
What sort of breed? Because I see you as like a Great Dane.
Really? I was going to go for Golden Retriever.
Golden Retriever.
Kind of dozy, but, you know, lovely and loyal, I like to think.
Yeah. I think a Great Dane or an Irish Wolfhound.
Okay, I'll take that.
Because, you know, you're quite tall, so I thought that was sort of a bigger dog, a bigger breed of dog.
Okay, but not you're not going super big.
Not like a giant schnauzer.
Have you ever seen a Leon burger?
A Leon burger? No, I mean, that sounds like something you'd eat.
No, I hadn't met one before.
I mean, I'm looking one up now. I'm going to look one up now. Is okay. It spelt Leon as in the name and then burger as in the beef?
Burger, B-E-R-G-E-R, I met one for the first time doing my current job, and it was as if there was a bear walking through this person's hallway. Thankfully, big friendly boy, but... if he wanted to kill me, I think it would have been a matter of seconds.
Wow, they do look big. I mean, it's hard to tell when you just get the picture of a dog on its own. It's hard to judge the size. But then they've got one sitting on a sofa, and it looks like it's taking up most of a three-seater sofa. That's how big that dog is.
Yeah.
Wow. If that came at you, because even if that came at you in a friendly manner, that would be terrifying enough, wouldn't it? And it would knock you over. I remember when I was a kid, my best friend who lived over the road, they had a giant schnauzer. And that knocked me over once, just sort of bounding up to me, happy to see me. But huge thing.
Yeah, especially if it was to jump on its back legs and sort of put its weight on you. You know, that could be terrible.
Oh, I mean, I think, I don't know whether dogs like that should be allowed as pets, unless you've got like a mansion. Because that would take up... I mean, mind you, you are in East Grinstead. I'd imagine where this dog lives. It's probably got its own mansion its own for the dog, isn't it?
No, I mean, it's this... okay, I don't want to be rude, but he's an older gentleman who owns the dog.
Right.
And I think
worrying, isn't it? Like, if he's a bit old and frail, a dog that size, that could have him over before he knows it.
It's potentially, yes. I think he's quite well behaved, this dog. But I definitely think if I was a bit old, and dare I say, again, don't be rude, but perhaps a little bit frail, then I think if you can't own a gun in this country, or you can't reasonably have an axe wielding anywhere in the house, then I think a massive fucking dog would probably be a great burglar deterrent.
It would be, but you wouldn't be able to take it out for a walk on your own, would you?
Ride this thing.
That's true. You could ride it, put a little saddle on it. As long as you train it from a young age to have a passenger upon it, it probably wouldn't be... It'd probably be cheaper than a mobility scooter.
I think for the purposes of anyone from PETA who might be listening, we are joking. We do not advocate riding dogs.
If they're that big, though, mate. It's about the size of a horse. If you're going to have an animal, you could probably have one of those.
I think so. But I would not ride a dog.
Have you seen those dogs that look like lions?
I think so.
They're a Tibetan Mastiff.
Right.
And they've got like a mane around them. They genuinely look like a lion. If you see one out about and you think, Jesus, there's a lion. And then you realise you're in Croydon. It's unlikely to be a lion. But then I wouldn't put it past some
Croydon residents.
Have you seen a picture of one?
They're huge.
Yeah, I know. And don't they look like a lion?
Yes. Very cute. I want one.
Oh, I saw one recently and he was very cute. Very cute. Very friendly. So they don't necessarily have the lion's temperament.
No. So I think, going back to your original question, what kind of dog would I be? Probably something overexcited, maybe a bit dopey, something like that.
You know what? I've got a neighbour who's... I've talked about him before. He lives opposite me. He often has little outbursts of rage.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether he's trying to train a new dog, but he just yells at this thing. And I don't think this dog's ever going to learn... Like, if you're just shouting at a dog, is it going to get the message through?
No, it doesn't work because, I'm no expert, of course, but I was told once shouting at a dog achieves nothing because, A, they can't actually understand most of what you're saying. Mm. They'll understand a few words. But to the dog, they'll just wonder why their owner's barking and then they'll start barking and then you'll get angry because it's not shutting up and then you'll shout back and it'll carry on barking and it's sort of a circular problem.
Because then you cheer and goes, shut up!
Yeah.
Shut up! Get in here! I hear that a lot. Get in here!
Is this the same guy who had a dog previously that was completely out of control and kept running away?
Yeah. Well, he ran over the road a few times. Yeah. It's I just watch it, and it's a fascinating. Look, my life is pretty dull these days, so watching a neighbour and a dog is. I mean, this week it's up there with clearing out the shed as the most exciting activities I've done. So watching the development of this relationship, and I'm sure it must be a new dog. I'm sure it must, because it certainly feels like this is a younger dog than he's had before. And there is an element of what he believes is training going on.
Yeah, although sadly, it's probably just better left alone because he doesn't... I've heard many stories
don't get involved,
of this guy.
Mate. Don't get involved.
Yeah, he doesn't seem the type who's going to welcome... advice.
Oh God, no. I mean, I've lived in my house for 18 years and he's always lived opposite me. I think in that time we've exchanged words twice and I'm very keen to keep it like that.
Yeah.
Because he can turn very quickly. His general demeanour is one of aggression.
So his sort of standard volume is already what we would call too loud.
Yeah, he's like, everything he does is loud, which is why I think I focus so much attention on him, because he's sort of a source of irritation to me. If there's a noise going on, it's very likely to be him.
I really do get cross with people who don't have any sort of self-awareness when it comes to volume control.
Yeah.
I'm willing to make a lot of noise, but I do it in small, appropriate bursts.
Yeah.
Like just the other night.
The boxing, I bet you were well loud.
Just the other night, and I might get onto this proper later on, but I was watching the Anthony Joshua fight.
I thought of you and I thought, I bet he's shouting.
And I was. I was really screaming, but at a certain point, Mrs. Ben says to me, do you think we should maybe turn it down a bit? It's quite loud. And it, you know, didn't start till about 11 p.m. This all sort of ties in, really, because I don't often speak to my neighbours, and I've even rarer do I get a text from them.
Oh, God, they didn't text you, did they?
And I was screaming, shouting, enjoying myself, and I was polite to Mrs. Ben, but I rejected her request for...
Oh, I like that. I was polite, but I rejected her request, which means you weren't polite, Ben.
So I thought, no. And I explained in very polite terms that they make enough fucking noise. So just for 45 minutes every few months, I'm going to make a bit of noise myself and enjoy my fight, which I paid already like 27 quid for.
Already there's a grudge with the neighbours. It's underlying, but it's there. You've brought this up now.
This is no, they
make enough fucking noise. So that's an underlying anger that's been... I mean, the way that came out as well, because you were going, I was being very polite. And then I said, they make enough fucking noise. So this is obviously an issue, Ben, that you might want to explore and discuss. Feel free to use me as a counsellor.
Okay. And the next day... I get a text from my next door neighbour. I won't name him, but just said, enjoy the boxing.
And I thought, passive aggressive.
That's the most passive aggressive text I've ever received.
Reed, shut the fuck up. You noisy bastard.
So I thought, oh no. Mm. I thought, because I mean, maybe Mrs. Ben was right. Maybe it was... I like to think they could overhear the commentary and the sort of general TV noise rather than me yelling all sorts of abuse at the screen.
I mean, they're getting the whole experience. They're getting the loud TV, they're getting the commentary, they're getting your abuse being thrown at the television.
I mean, it was a dual-purpose text, because he then went on to, you know... I replied, oh, yes, thanks, blah, blah, blah. And then he got on to say, oh, by the way, just to let you know, we're off on holiday for a little while, so don't worry about
the bins.
Make
as much noise as you like.
So I thought, now, that was definitely a way of letting me know the volume was too loud, wasn't it?
It was certainly a way of letting you know that you'd been heard.
Would you get annoyed if you worked out your next-door neighbour was getting particularly animated, and you worked out it's a boxing match, the longest this can last is 45 minutes... It's 11 p.m. This doesn't happen every night. It's a bit of a... Would you let that slide or would you be annoyed?
The thing is, though, Ben, I feel we've been there before. This conversation has a sense of deja vu about it. I think big boxing match, we had a similar conversation.
So that was months ago.
So, well, you know, time flies quickly. So to them, it's like, oh, he's off again. Every few weeks, we have this aggressive behaviour from him. Frankly, it's becoming a problem. And the missus next door, she's probably saying, I just send him a little text in the morning. He's going, I'll go around now. And she's going, no, just leave it. He's clearly wound up. You don't want to get involved. The aggressive nature of the vocalizations that we're getting through the walls, it's not worth it, love. It's not, he's going, oh, I'm gonna go around. She's calmed him down. In the morning, he sent a very passive aggressive text. That's what I feel has happened there,
okay,
Ben.
I worry you're right. I felt it was quite passive aggressive at the time. I didn't appreciate it.
I've also got a memory that there are children in this house next door. Young,
there are, yes.
Impressionable children hearing this probably terrifying anger and vile language coming from your mouth.
So, yeah, I did consider texting back, just sort of saying, I'm sorry, I don't watch the boxing. I don't know what you're talking about. just to really sort of play a bit of passive-aggressive tennis with him, but yeah. I decided not to.
So how did you respond? Well, we just ignored it. I mean, that would be the most passive-aggressive response.
No, I replied to his message about the bins, which was obviously very important, and then just said, oh, yeah, good fight, blah, blah, blah. I hope that's the end of it, but I still think it's not going to put me off. And if I've paid nearly 27 quid to watch a 45-minute fight, you're damn right I'm going to enjoy myself.
Yeah, well, it's a sporting event. A sporting event evokes passion. I perfectly understand. I'm sure he understands that.
If it was a Vegas fight and it was 3 or 4 in the morning, I'd probably rein myself in a bit. But 11 p.m. on a Saturday night, once every few months, that's okay. Please back me up here, Trev.
It's acceptable.
Oh, just.
It's acceptable, just. It just falls into that category. It's right on the border, though. Because I don't have a sense of how loud the telly was, for example.
I have a surround sound system and a subwoofer.
Right,
The TV goes up to 100.
What did you have it on?
80.
Oh, well, I mean, we've almost stepped over the line. We were right there, but we were right on the border before I started getting a bit more information. Now, Phil, we said 80.
And then factor me, I can be quite loud at times. Imagine me screaming at the top of my lungs.
Oh, I'd be calling the
intermittently.
You'd be certainly getting it, or at least the council for some noise abatement orders. Just at your house. It's ludicrous. I've got a thing about loudness and things being loud, right?
Yeah.
And I think if my neighbour was watching the boxing, I think it might annoy me, but I wouldn't go round. It wouldn't worry me. If it was happening every night, that would be a problem, right? So yeah. I think I would understand.
Good. But I think me and your neighbour would get on like a house on fire. I could come round, pet the dog, watch the boxing, have a shout. It'd be great.
Yeah. Although living next door to you on a permanent basis might become tiresome fairly quickly, I'd imagine, then. but I mean, I tell you the thing about the volume of an audio bit of equipment. A car went by my house the other day with one of those, obviously a massive bass bin in it, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could hear it miles off before it came down the road, fairly late at night as well. But the house shook as it went by. Wow. And I just, like, what joy can you possibly be getting from music at that level in your car? You can't hear the fucking thing. All you're hearing is, well, you're not really hearing anything. You're just hearing a bass noise.
Yeah.
There can't be anything left of the car. The vibrations must be, like, bits must be dropping off the car left, right, and center. But I think, what joy can you be getting from that? That is only an attempt to be noticed. You want attention. That's all it is. You're not enjoying the music. It's like people who make their cars louder by doing something to the exhaust. That pisses me off. You don't need to be making a car louder. The only reason you're doing that is because you feel that people are going to I mean, who would stop and go, oh, look at him. Oh, he's so cool. I'd love to be like him, have a car that makes a right fucking racket.
Well, idiots. I can say, I didn't have the volume up on the TV just for the sake of volume. I wasn't trying to flex, look at my speakers, everyone.
Well,
basically, I like to try and immerse myself into, yeah. Like I say, I'm paying a lot of money for this.
And put pop some headphones on. Mind you, then you wouldn't get control of your shouting volume as well, would you? It's even louder.
So I basically want to feel like I can't afford to be in Saudi Arabia for this fight or fly over there. So I want to feel like I'm in there as much as I can. Mm. So get the surround sound set up, volume up, bass up. Let's enjoy it. To, you know, try and create this sort of stadium feeling, but within the house.
Yeah.
And like I say, once every few months. So I'm not doing it just to show off I've got speakers, because otherwise I'd be doing it every night.
Do you know what? I've changed my mind about you. I think you'd be a really annoying dog and would just bark all fucking night.
Trev, speaking of the boxing match,
mm.
Did you follow the result or any of the fallout?
Well, I did, because obviously it was big headline news. I haven't seen any of the footage, but you had a little bit of a tantrum, didn't you?
Well,
he threw his toys out the pram. I lost the mummy.
For those who are unfamiliar with or don't care about boxing, basically Anthony Joshua had a rematch to win his belt back from Ukrainian Oleksandr Usyk, and he lost.
Yes.
I think it was a surprise to him that he lost. I think his corner all the way through the fight were lying to him, frankly, telling him he was winning rounds when he clearly wasn't. So by the time Usyk gets his hand raised, Anthony Joshua is very confused and very annoyed, and then decides to throw the mother of all temper tantrums.
Yeah.
He was walking
around.
Did he
throw the belts out the ring for a start?
Yeah, I believe he at one point took the Ukrainian flag from Oleksandr Usyk and flung it around his own shoulders, which I think was actually meant as a nice thing, like a show of support. Yeah, so yeah. It sounds petulant, but I'll let him off the hook for that one. He took the belts, which, by the way, are no longer his, and threw them out of the ring.
Yeah.
He stormed off. Got halfway up the ramp, thought better of it, turned around, came back. If you're going to commit to storming off,
never come back.
Then he took the microphone and he started to sort of rant about how he's, you know, why doesn't he throw combinations? It's because I'm too heavy. I'm not 14 stone. I'm 18 stone, and I'm not Rocky Marciano. And this should have been Alexander Usyk's moment. He's just stood there awkwardly. I don't think he cared. He's brilliant, by the way. And then the press conference afterwards, he got quite emotional, and I think he was starting to regret, you know, this outburst. And he described it as like a chink in the armor. You normally don't see this from me. So that I had down as the cringiest thing I'd seen all week.
Hmm.
Until Mrs. Ben said to me, have you seen Ryan Giggs's poem?
I mean, it is fantastic, isn't it?
And I said, I'm sorry, love, Ryan Giggs's poem.
Mm.
And it transpires from his ongoing case, which I don't think we should discuss at the moment. It turns out a poem he wrote has to his one of his many women has been uncovered. Oh, my God. It makes Anthony Joshua's temper tantrum look insignificant. By default.
I mean, Anthony Joshua sort of came out, I think, the day after and said, look, I let myself down.
Yes.
And I think he sort of apologised. I kind of feel Ryan Giggs needs to do that. Once whatever happens, happens in court. He needs to come out and say, with that poem, I really let myself down. I really feel I should apologise to everyone who's had to read it or hear it now. Really, just because I think we've all been affected by this poem in a negative way.
I mean, I will tend to forgive most people if someone has the good grace, even if they let themselves down or embarrass themselves or say something stupid or behave like AJ did at that fight. I will always, if they come out and say, hands up, I'm sorry, I fucked up, I always try and forgive those people because they've had the decency to apologise. This poem, though, might fall into the category of unforgivable. Is there any way we can mark this podcast to have a health warning? Because people, if they hear this, may die of secondhand embarrassment.
I think the best way to experience this poem, or the best one I've heard this week anyway, is a performance by a guy called Mr. Joe Gooch.
Okay.
Who has called it the Royal Shakespeare Society presentation of
is and he actually an RSC member?
I'm not sure, but he certainly gives the performance that would be worthy of a position in the RSC. Now, you should try and watch this. It is on YouTube because there are some actions that just bring it to life a little bit more during the performance. But I think we can hear it and you'll at least get a sense of the poem.
My darling Kate, unequivocally, our love was fate. I fell in love with you at first sight. I remember, 'cause I was as high as a kite. Those beautiful eyes made me shiver. I'm not gonna lie, I think of you. I dream of you. Can't help thinking pulling you was my greatest ever coup. That stomach, those abs, those pictures you send so I can keep tabs. You make me feel funny down there. Oh. Especially when you're there. Oh. And you look up and stare.
Oh, God.
I'm beginning to think you are always right. That's okay. It will keep us tight. I'm gonna end by saying, you are my love, my friend, my soul, and most of all, you believe in me, which makes me hard as a totem pole.
Christ. I mean, I thought, I'm going to end by saying you are my love, my friend, my soul. But I thought that was quite nice. Finish it there, Giggsy. And most of all, you believe in me, which makes me hard as a totem pole. What a classy way to end a poem. A poem that, by the way, started with the word unequivocally.
Yes.
So he's got the vocabulary, but then he just, it all went wrong after it unequivocally.
It's like the modern day Keats. You know, one of those romantic poets, isn't it? It's sort of got all those elements. It's got the admiration for her abs that allow him to keep tabs. I mean, there's some lovely, there's some lovely moments where he's just gone to the rhyming dictionary.
Just couldn't find a rhyme for shiver, I noticed as well.
Quiver could have been a word you could have thrown in there, couldn't it?
Yeah, could have. In options. Oh, jeez. I don't blush very easily, but that has made me go red. Oh, my word. Obviously, people know, Trev, that you and I used to, a few years ago, co-host a breakfast show
Yes, yes.
On the radio.
We did other shows on other radio stations before that. I think three different radio stations we've done stuff on. One yes, professionally, the other two just sort of in our own time.
Yeah, we've always been shut down or sacked. That tends to be how it finishes up.
Yes, which I'm amazed the internet hasn't shut down yet. When we started doing podcasting, I'm surprised the internet just go, well, we better shut down now.
One of my gripes was that there were some stations giving away these massive prizes and stuff, and our little station, growing station, didn't really have the budget.
Yeah.
So now and again, and this sounds like a joke, but it isn't, and I know it's better than a poke in the eye, but we were given 50 quid to give away as a prize.
Yes.
And I always felt a little bit like I'd rather not give it a prize away than say we're giving away 50 quid and try and sound excited about the prospect of giving away 50 quid.
Mind you, as you say, I mean, in the current climate, 50 could be very welcome.
Yeah, I'm not knocking the amount. Well, I am. But
I remember once we had to give away a pair of trousers. And I thought, well, this isn't really a good prize. But the person who won them was delighted because they were good for their work.
Yeah.
So you and I were very cynical about the prize, and we're thinking, oh God, we've actually got to give away a pair of trousers. These were like workmen's trousers. But the guy who won them was delighted with them, so it sort of shut us up a little bit, didn't it?
It did, and I don't want to sound like oh, £50 is nothing to me. It's not, of course. It's just that when you've got stations giving away
20
hundreds of thousands of pounds, then it just looks a bit small-time, doesn't it? But anyway, that being said, the deal was you obviously had to pick the callers at random, and there are strict rules and guidelines.
Yeah.
But what you want, and what more importantly your program controller wants, is he wants something he can use as a highlight to advertise the station for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, so you're always told to anyone that phones in, if you win, sound really excited. You tell them that before you put them to the air, don't you?
Yeah. Go mad when we tell you you've won so that we can use it as a little promo and it does great for the station.
Which might explain why the bloke who won trousers went, yes, brilliant.
So I was listening to a radio station this week when I was flicking through the stations in my van radio.
Yeah.
Should I tell you which one it was?
Yeah, go on.
It was Heart.
Heart. Okay. I'd imagine they're giving away big prizes.
£10,000.
£10,000.
And it's not something they do every hour. It's something that, you know, would be a bit of a treat. And I can imagine this presenter was probably chuffed. I'm the guy who gets to give away the 10,000. Great. That'll be my voice on those promos. It'll be great for the station. Great for me. Great for the person who wins it.
Yeah. Everyone's happy. Everyone's a winner.
Exactly. But like I said earlier on, you have to choose the people at random.
Yes.
Because there is very strict rules in place about diddling winners of competitions on the radio. So the winner was picked at random, all above board. Bless her heart. She wasn't the most enthusiastic winner, to put it very gently. No, not at all. I'll tell you the story as well as I can remember it, which is basically this guy going, oh, so you've won £10,000. So, Kira, what are you going to do with it?
Go on holiday.
Oh, anyone? Oh, okay. Who are you taking on holiday, Kira?
Tony.
And who's Tony? Who's that? Boyfriend.
Wow.
Okay. And
being held at gunpoint to be in this competition?
what are you doing for the rest of the day now you've won £10,000? Bakery. Work at a bakery.
Right.
Then he panicked. I think he realised this was going badly. And he just went, bakery, eh? Do you have any thoughts on savoury toppings on cakes?
Oh, brilliant. I mean, that's superb. I mean, that is brilliant. Well, maybe he's trying to find the thing that gets her passionate. Like, 10 grand hasn't done it. Her boyfriend can't get her excited. And maybe savoury toppings on pastry is the thing that really motivates her.
And she completely no-sold it as well. So he goes, have you got any thoughts on savoury toppings on cakes?
Any thoughts? It's not even like, what's your favourite? It's like, what are your thoughts on it? It's like a philosophical question.
That was the problem. It was a closed question. So he just went, any thoughts on savoury toppings on cakes? No.
Wow.
And he had nowhere to go.
Well, no, of course you haven't.
And I just thought, this poor bastard, he's trying so hard. His big moment, she has ruined his big moment.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, I just wish she'd got into that, because I think if I'd been asked that question, I think that I would have just gone with that. I've got any thoughts on it? Yes, I've got plenty of thoughts on saving toppings on cakes. Bacon doesn't work well in a Victoria sponge. That's certainly one of my thoughts. So don't try it.
Oh, bless him. I felt so bad for him. I thought, oh, you know, he wants to be in all the promos, and this woman has just completely no-sold his entire £10,000 competition.
There's nothing worse than when you've got someone that doesn't really want to be interviewed. So every week I have to, one of my jobs is to make a feature about an artist who's got an album out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to listen to a lot of interviews. And I'm allowed to use certain interviews to take clips from and put in my work. Okay. So that's how it works. They say, okay, I can use these. And Joe Wiley was interviewing Paolo Nutini, right? Oh, man, I really felt for her because this was like a long-winded, it wasn't like a quick, so Paolo, tell us about your new album. It was like he was sitting there, he was going to perform some songs live. And this went on for about an hour and he just, I don't think he's comfortable being interviewed.
Right.
But, like, tell them that or don't go on it. Because, like, there were moments where she was going, so, what is it about performing that you really like? It's just, you know, it's just great, you know.
Oh, God.
And it was like that the whole time. And you could sense her, like, I mean, she's you know, she's an experienced presenter, but you could just sense her heart sinking at every question being answered, or even not particularly answered at all, just silence. And there was just one moment about 45 minutes in where she asked him about, like, writing, and he sort of mumbled an answer. He basically said, you know, I think, I like writing. I feel, you know, with songs I can probably, you know, express myself better than, and she went, what, like in interviews? That's, oh, that's like a low punch that's landed. Might have gone over his head, but I bet she felt good. I was like, you've given me 45 minutes of hell, and that's just a little low blow.
That's brilliant. Was this a live interview?
Live, yeah.
Oh, God, because I'm going to say, why the hell was that allowed? Because, you know, presumably, if it's a pre-recorded thing, you'd finish it and just say, listen, mate, Paolo, yeah, buddy, yeah, for your sake and mine, we're not airing that. It was rubbish.
Yeah. No, it was all live. And it was like, you just think, why? It's like, if you don't like being interviewed, just say that. And if,
well,
if
no, I mean, doesn't he have to play the game a little bit? I mean, it's his should album she's promoting. I mean,
yeah, he might be a nervous wreck. That might be it. But I just
fair enough.
Don't agree to go on it in that format if that's all you're going to give. Because it's no one's getting anything. The listener's got it. We're not learning anything about this album during the talky bits here.
It is quite a bold move from Wiley, though, to just sort of throw in that, you know, under the radar low blow. What if he'd have said, how dare you, and just stormed off?
Well, it wouldn't have made any difference. I mean, at least it would have made for a better response than he'd given at any other point in the interview.
I mean, imagine interviewing someone and you get to the point where you think, you know what, fuck it, I will just take the piss out of them now and see if they notice, because this is going so poorly.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Oh, there's nothing. I've done a couple of interviews where it's been a bit, and in the end, I've just wrapped them up because you just know you're not going to get anywhere with it. You're just like, oh. And competition entrance. Do you remember we were doing it towards the end of our time at the radio station? We had this horrible competition, which I think we've mentioned before.
Narrow it down.
It's called Who's in the Van, right?
Oh, my God. I mean,
and it was just,
that was the most contrived,
oh,
a nonsensical rubbish. It was impossible. Did anyone ever win that? I think we were sacked before we ever found out.
Yeah, thank God. I mean, it was like, there was a blessing about having to leave without seeing that through. Because the idea was, there were three people in a van. One was different. There were like three categories of people. And you had to try and guess who these people were. Only one person, our boss, knew the answers. So we didn't even know who was in the fucking van. And to this day, I don't know. And I don't care who was in the van. I hope they all drove off the cliff in the end.
What were the really, really vague descriptions we had to give? Like, one of them's, what was it? One of them's
different. Well, I remember one.
One of them's different. One of them's interesting. And one of them's funny.
Yeah. But you also had to say, like, you couldn't just name the people. You also had to say where they were sitting in the van, whether they were in the left, right, or in the middle. And it was just like, oh, Jesus. And do you remember that we, I mean, I think I can say this now. I mean, we were struggling for people to take part in this thing. So someone in the radio station put out on a forum about, you know, prize available. I think it was a decent prize, actually. So we had people like would register to play the game, but who had no idea about what the game was. And we had, do you remember, like, because we had to pick them at random as well. That was the thing. So we had this sort of slightly elderly woman who lived in like Birmingham or something, had never heard the radio station, didn't know what the competition was. I tried to explain it to her before we put her to air. And even then when we were on air, she just wasn't grasping it. I was going, so remember, you want to tell me, like, who's different? Who would you, like, think of a celebrity who you would think might be a bit different? And where might they be sitting in a van? And she didn't have a clue what was going on. I was thinking, oh my God, this is going on.
I think I remember that. I don't know if you've still got the audio for that, but I think you won't hear very much of me for that, because I think I was on the floor with my microphone, desperately trying to turn my microphone off because I was dying laughing.
Yeah, and I'm trying to hold this thing together, trying to just get through this, because you think, this poor, like, she was so confused.
It really was the most contrived, obscure game. So not only do I have to guess one celebrity, just pick one celebrity who's, quotes, different. That's the only clue you're getting. No context for what the fuck that means. And they're different.
And do you remember, like, someone guessed one of them. It was Ryan, I think Ryan Reynolds was the name that we had one person who got one.
I thought it was Ryan Gosling.
Oh, it might have been Ryan Gosling. I knew it was a Ryan.
One of the Ryans.
So one of the Ryans was in the van. But the thing was, they said to us, you can't tell any new contestants who you've already got. They have to go to the website to see who already...
layer of difficulty.
Like, just give us a helping hand. Like, we're dying on our arse with this thing every day. Every day we're dying on our arse. Just give us a helping hand.
Oh, it was... Not only do you have to have the amazing ability to get just one of these right, based on no information or clues, treble that difficulty.
Yeah.
And then once you've correctly, by a miracle, identified all three people, then tell us in which order they're sitting inside the van.
Oh.
It was impossible.
And I mean, if anyone who's followed us from those days, don't tell us. If you know who, I don't want to know. I never want to know who was in the van. Never.
I would like, if that competition ever was won.
It's probably still going, mate.
No, I think that program controller got the boot swiftly afterwards as well.
Yeah, but there was a sponsor involved, so they'd have to carry it on. They would have to just keep going and going. It's like, I think there was a radio station, you know, like there used to be, our guest stations still do it, like the mystery voice competition.
Yeah.
And the money was sort of rolled over. It was like £100 a day. And then they'd play a voice and goes, who's that? Who's that? Check out all the guesses online. Similar sort of thing. And there's one station, but this went on for about 2.5 years. So at some point, just go, fuck, let's call it quits with this.
I'm telling you, if anyone ever won the Who's in the Van competition, it's because they must have massively relaxed the rules and gave it a hell of a lot more clues.
Yeah.
Because you'd be there till doomsday trying to guess.
Oh, I tell you what's even worse than that, though. Like, at least you've got someone to play. It's when you haven't got anyone taking part. I was on a radio station years ago doing the Drive Time show, and I was given, I had to give away tickets to go and see the 1970s disco outfit Rolls Royce, right? And I thought, well, you know, this radio station's aimed at people who, that might be their era, so...
People who like the song Car Wash.
Basically, yeah. I mean, I don't know what else they did, but yeah, I think they just sang that 65 times and then everyone went home. I didn't have the concert. And I said, well, I'm going to keep this really easy. And you have what you call a trigger track, right? So I'm going to play Rolls Royce Car Wash, listen out for it, right?
At that point, you no longer need to go to the show.
Anyway, so I play Rolls Royce Car Wash. Not one phone call. The phone didn't ring. Not anyone taking part. And that's just because you know that there's a sponsor involved. They're wanting to hear you give this away. And then there's that really embarrassing thing because you think, well, I don't know what to do now because I've played the track and there's been fuck all. So I sort of said to our boss at the time, who... I mean, frankly, he was a moron. he didn't know. He just said, well, I don't know. And I was like, well,
thanks. Thanks for your help. Leadership.
So I went back and I had to do this thing where I went on air with my cheesy DJ voice. And I was like, well, it seems we were very subtle with Rolls Royce there because you've all missed it. So at some point in the next half hour or so, we'll be playing another Rolls Royce track. And then when it came to it, I was like, and this is Rolls Royce. Oh, and I think in the end, one person phoned.
Wow. And I mean, like, I'd have been tempted to sort of say, right, well, you've all missed it, so in the next guy's show, see if you can look and just palm it off to the next poor.
It wasn't
sucker.
Another show off, it was just music after me. So I had to give this thing away. It was, oh my God, it was awful. Absolutely awful.
Oh, man.
And I had a few like that at that station because we didn't have a huge listenership, and we had a few like that where it was really desperate. Awful. But talking of radio stuff, right? Talking of radio stations, I heard the most ridiculous thing ever. I wasn't listening to the radio station because it's on a radio station I won't listen to. And they're on TV as well. They're called Talk TV.
Oh, right? I thought it was going to be our old one.
No, this is Talk TV, which is talk radio as well. And it's just, it's like a radio station for Karens and Gammons.
Oh, is it one of those new pop-up things like that thing that Nigel Farage is on?
Yeah.
One of those type of channel things.
I think it might be the one. Is Farage on GBeebies?
GBeebies, that's the one.
Well, Talk TV, because Talk Radio's been around for a long time, but then they've gone into TV and they've got their own news channel now. Okay. And the thing is, Ben, I feel that this country is getting, like, overall, I just think there are some horrible people, right?
I agree.
And this radio station just seems to encourage that. So I won't listen to it, but this clip was doing the rounds on social media this week. And I thought, I can't just sit on this clip. I've got to...
Ooh, good.
I've got to tell you about this, right? So the host is a guy called Mike Graham, who's like... he's basically like... a sausage with a microphone, sort of a right-wing sausage with a microphone. And obviously he'd been spouting about the boats that come over in the channel. He'd obviously been ranting some anti-immigration nonsense, I would imagine. Right?
Well, he's a good sort of British sausage. He's not a bratwurst or a bratwurst.
Oh, God, no. He's definitely a full-on British sausage. made of arseholes. And so he'd obviously been talking about this. And then this sweet-sounding lady called Rosemary phoned up. Rosemary in Kent. So it's in the area where some of the boats will land. Okay?
Of course, yeah.
I just want to play you bits of what she had to say on it, because it's one of those things you can't quite believe what you're hearing.
Okay.
I can't understand why, with the people coming across the channel, why on earth don't we concentrate, or they concentrate, on sabotaging the boats?
Well, yeah. I mean,
beg your pardon.
So, why don't they were talking about the authorities and what we could do to stop the boats, and she think, well, why don't we just sabotage?
Well, what
boats?
Does she mean?
Here
come the immigrants. Fire the cannons.
Well, it's a bit more sophisticated than that. By the way, I just want to say that you heard Mike Graham at the end go, yeah. And you'd have thought, like, a radio host might go, well, hang on, let's look at the... Let's hear what she has to say next. This is her plan. I mean, God almighty, this is what people genuinely think, Ben. This is what... genuinely came out of someone's mouth this week.
I mean, a drone with a dart in it up above.
That's a good idea.
Lovely big little fleshy bit on the front.
Yeah. A drone with a dart in it.
Right. Now, are you sure she's not trolling this news station?
Well, let's go on to see what else she had to say, shall we? She had a little bit more information.
One in there. I mean, those beaches go out a mile. You can't really get drowned, and they'll all have lifeboat jackets on them anyway.
Exactly. I mean, they won't drown.
What's wrong with him?
They won't drown, will they? And they must all have life jackets on. I mean, so what's it matter if they all fall out the boat? I mean, has she not seen any of the news in the last year and the number of people who have sadly perished trying to do this dangerous crossing out of necessity? I think this is what people fail to understand, is that this is a last desperate act to get here,
but that shouldn't need explanation, but no. Sadly it does. But the best case scenario for what's happening right now is that she is trolling him and he knows that and is being sarcastic.
Yeah, well,
because at least that means if that was the case, that neither of these two people believe this drivel that they're agreeing with each other on.
Mike Graham's got his own idea.
I prefer the system of just sticking a knife in them while they're still on the beach.
Well, yes, but, you know, they've still got to try and get there. I mean, the road, they ought to have checkpoints on that road, the gravel lines particular.
Because I'm told, right, that the surveillance is so good now that they know precisely when they're going to put one into the water. They know precisely where they're going to put it in. So they easily know the location of where all this stuff is coming from.
Can you imagine how hard it is manoeuvring it across sand?
I know.
Yes. Because they're so desperate, they'll attempt to move it across the sand. But no, why not? Let's just have, like, ninjas that jump out and knife the boats before...
He did say, I thought I misheard, he said stick a knife in them. Did he mean the boats in the boat. Or the immigrants? Oh, for God's sake.
Hard to tell. I think the boat. Before it goes...
I thought he meant the immigrants. My jaw was on the floor.
Before it goes in the water, though, Ben.
Don't sink them. That should go without saying.
I mean, they've already been fleeced of their money for the boat. They've already put all of their life savings or whatever money they could get to get the boat. I'm not denying that there's a criminal element that supply the boats that needs to be stopped. I'm not stupid.
I think the death penalty, though, for attempting to flee some war-torn hellhole is a bit strong, don't you?
I think so. Rosemary has just... She goes back to her idea, by the way, just to finish things off.
Have you got a drone floating around up the top? We don't know much about them, but if it's got a little dart in it...
I like that. I like the sound of that very much indeed. What a great idea, Rosemary. Well done.
Well done, Rosemary. What a great idea. Well done. Well done. Let's get drones. I mean, she doesn't know much about drones. She admits that. She, I don't know much about them, but yeah, let's have drones that fire darts into little dinghies holding children. Remember, children will be in these boats. But then let's just dart them. Because remember, those beaches go out. They won't drown. They've all got life jackets on. I mean, Jesus Christ, Ben. I couldn't... I mean, I don't know Rosemary's surname. I'm assuming it's Goebbels. I just... I don't understand people, Ben.
I am so far past understanding how anyone could say that with a straight face, that I am convincing myself this is satire. It has to be. It has to be some kind of joke.
I don't think it is, Ben. I don't think it's. This is reality. These are the people that are phoning in.
Well, then, God help us all.
Well done. Great idea. Fucking hell. Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Just before we go, I've got a few recommendations for you this week.
Okay, what have we got?
First of all, it's one of the best programmes on the BBC, I think, anyway. And it's one of those programmes that I wouldn't normally watch because it's one of those fly-on-the-wall documentaries.
Okay.
But it's so good. It's called Ambulance. And they follow ambulance crews around their daily... Yeah, I think they follow them throughout a day. Right, and the last series I think they were in Liverpool, this series they're in the northeast, and it's just one of those programs because I mean it sounds bleak to be honest, it is a bit at times, right? It's one of those, yeah, it's a bit bleak, but it just makes you realise how valuable the NHS are and paramedics are. Like, these people are, to me, they're almost superhuman, the way that they operate, the level of care and love for humanity that these people have in their heart is kind of, it blows me away every time I watch it.
That sounds interesting, but I personally probably won't be watching it because it sounds a bit of a downer to me.
I mean, I do tend to cry every week watching it, you know. I say cry, you know, just my eyes water a little bit. Not again. But it's brilliantly made as well. Just watch it, Ben. Just give it a go. Because it makes you feel, although it's sad, this kind of makes you feel good because it restores some faith in humanity.
Maybe I'll consider it, but I won't consider it. I'm probably not going to watch it.
The other thing I want to recommend is a documentary I saw a little while ago on Sky, and I've been meaning to recommend this for a few weeks. It's called The Real Charlie Chaplin, and it's quite a long documentary about Charlie Chaplin's life. And
was there an imposter at some stage?
I don't remember there being an imposter.
No? So why was it the real Charlie Chaplin, as if there was a fake one?
Well, no, because it's like, you know, you're not seeing, it's the real, the man behind the character.
Ah, okay.
There were sort of other people that tried to do the tramp character.
Is it true that Charlie Chaplin, and maybe I'm confusing this with someone else. Mm. Did Charlie Chaplin enter a Charlie Chaplin lookalike contest and come second?
I believe that's
like that?
Right, yes. Yes, that's I believe incredible. He did, and he came second or third or something. but it's just fascinating. I mean, I love Charlie Chaplin anyway. I think he was a sort of genius, really. So that's fascinating. It was on Sky Documentary, so I'm assuming it's on catch-up still on Sky, but if you're into sort of comedy and silent comedy in particular, well worth a watch.
Excellent.
The final thing I'm going to recommend, I say recommend, I just want to mention it because I haven't started watching it yet, but The House of Dragon has begun.
The House of Dragon?
This is like an offshoot of Game of Thrones.
Is it?
You don't sound like you're showing no enthusiasm. Like, none of my recommendations this week have evoked any passion from you at all.
I hate to tell you, I've not seen a single second of Game of Thrones.
Well, it's worth it. It's worth
and
it.
House of Dragon.
House of Dragon, yeah.
It sounds like, is it a knockoff spoof of Game of Thrones?
It's kind of a spin-off almost.
Okay.
Anyway, it's on Sky now. A lot of people are very excited about it, Ben. So I just thought I'd mention it as a worthy thing to look out for if you're so inclined.
Okay, excellent stuff.
There we are. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget you can get in touch with us anytime at Trev and Ben on Twitter. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.